This is going to be the last lesson in this series that I've called a Christmas Chorus. Today's message is inspired by the song we sang earlier, Glory, Let There Be Peace. But did you notice how many songs that we've been singing over the season that have the idea, the sentiment of peace? And so they should. This song reminds me of several passages of Scripture. The first one you'll likely have heard at least once over this Christmas season is a prophecy of the promised Messiah that's found in Isaiah 9, verse 6. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And what's the last thing he'll be called? Prince of Peace. The next passage is that declaration made on the night of Jesus' birth, the shepherds in the fields. And again, you've heard that perhaps several times over this season. It's recorded in Luke 2, verse 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, and this was to the shepherds in the fields, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, who ushered in peace on the earth. Now you might be thinking, I'm sorry, but I'm not seeing it. If the birth of Jesus was to bring peace to the earth, either I'm not reading it right or something went horribly wrong. There's that war in the Ukraine, the turmoil in the Gaza Strip. There's the senseless violence we see in the streets and homes, the domestic abuse all around us. There's fighting and feuding on every front, it seems. Where's the peace that was promised? Well, take note of a couple of things here. As I suggested last week, the phrase government on his shoulders does not imply forced rule. And the peace on earth is for those on whom God's favor rests. Did you notice that? Some translations render this as peace upon those who please him. What does that mean? Well, in context, I get the distinct impression that it has to do with peace for those who promote peace. In fact, the King James Version adds the phrase goodwill toward men. Do you think we could use a little goodwill toward men in our world today? Ponder that a while. The chorus of our song for consideration this morning has a repeated theme, let there be peace. And let it start where? In me. So if there's to be peace in our world, I submit to you that we need to be people of peace. Closer to home, I need to be a person of peace. I'd like you to pay attention to some words from the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Listen closely to what he told his followers shortly before he was arrested and crucified. In John 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, so the peace of Jesus isn't the same as the peace the world offers. How's it different? Well, several ways. I want to share at least three of them. First, Christ's peace comes from knowing we're at peace with God. That's where it begins. Our Father in heaven sent his Son to reconcile us to himself, to bring us back to him, to restore the relationship with him. Led by the same Holy Spirit that conceived Jesus and Mary, the Apostle Paul puts it like this in Romans 5. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, or some versions does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I hope you noticed in this text that the peace we have with God doesn't eliminate suffering. But it infuses us with hope that one day we will overcome all suffering, all struggle, all strife. This peace is perfected through the constant confirmation, though, that we're loved by God. Are you unsure about that this morning? Are you unsure about the fact that God loves you? Then I ask you to open your heart to receive Jesus and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, the Holy Spirit wants to pour into your heart the love of God today. When we know that we're forgiven of all the wrong things we've ever done, and we're accepted by our Heavenly Father in spite of all the good things that we failed to do, we can't help but feel at peace. When the love of God is poured into our hearts, it flushes out all that crud that pollutes our hearts. What's left is peace. Perfect peace. Peace that nothing can disturb. Peace that can't be taken away. Another thing is Christ's peace empowers us to find inner peace. How many of you need that? I don't think we can find peace with others until we find peace with ourselves at times. The peace of Christ can alleviate our inner struggles, which are caused by guilt and frustration. The weight of our sins and failures can be lifted. Even in the midst of conflict, we can be able to find a calmness in our spirits that defies explanation. We discover an ability to remain tranquil in the middle of whatever storms may be confronting us and surrounding us. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, rejoice in the Lord always. Always? Yeah, always. I'll say it again, he says, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Notice this, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That sounds swell, doesn't it? That sounds wonderful, but how, pray tell, are we to do that? It takes focus. And prayer, Paul is saying, is the primary tool needed to adjust our perspective. We take the things that trouble us and we lay them at the feet of Jesus and leave them there. For me, that's the hard thing to do. To leave them there. I have a tendency to tell Jesus about all the things that concern me without actually giving them to him. Anybody else ever fall prey to that? I should know better, but I too soon forget that he's proven himself faithful more times than I can count. When I bring those things to him and really leave them with him, wow, he can do incredible things with the things I have no control over. Paul is urging us to express thanksgiving for all God has done and promises yet to do, trusting him again to handle what we can't possibly handle on our own. The result? Peace that passes understanding. In other words, when people around us see our circumstances, they'll be surprised at our demeanor. When they should expect and would expect to see us worried and complaining, they'll see us instead calm and grateful. It won't make any sense to them, but it will serve as a platform for us to explain that our confidence isn't in the physical things of this earth. Our trust is not in what we have, but in the relationship that we have with God through Jesus. Matter of fact, continuing on in Philippians 4 with verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Sound like focus? Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, hear this again, will be with you. Don't miss that. We tend to think that peace comes so naturally that it finds us. But the truth is, contentment often only comes through concentration and commitment. Keeping our eyes on Jesus goes a long way to accomplish this. As the Hebrew writer urges in chapter 12, the first three verses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hear this again. Consider him. Who? Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Ever grow weary with worry? Let's be honest. You ever grow weary with worry? Do you ever feel faint of heart? Like you don't have a whole lot of hope? Me too. But take special note again that keeping our eyes on Jesus can strengthen us and keep us from losing heart. That's the terminology used. I think it's interesting. Remember that Jesus gave his peace to his followers to ease their troubled hearts. Seems like a correlation to me. Finally, Christ's peace equips us to live at peace with others. Because we have the riches of his grace and the promise of treasure in heaven, we don't squabble over scraps or quarrel over trivial matters. My wife has often had to remind me a lot of things are trivial that I make mountains out of. They're just molehills. Something that we grow to learn is that there's little in this material world worth fighting over. The Holy Spirit's been given to us, and he's able to produce the wonderful fruit in our lives. What fruit? Well, Galatians 5 tells us. His fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now think on those a moment. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do any of those attributes sound like they would promote strife? In the Sermon on the Mount recorded in Matthew 5, Jesus calls for us to be peacemakers, to settle adversarial matters quickly, and to go the extra mile, even turn the other cheek if need be, in disputes. He even goes so far as to tell us to love our enemies and to pray for them. Was he serious? Listen closely. He was dead serious. I seldom do this, but I'd like to have you watch a video that I put together featuring a 2014 song by Casting Crowns and a film clip from a 2005 film, Joyeux Noël, which means Merry Christmas, and another little clip about something that happened in World War I.
On Christmas Eve, 1914, temperatures drop below freezing on the Western Front. In some places, it began snowing, obscuring the moon. Then all across the German lines, lights began to appear. At first, the British thought the Germans were preparing to attack. But instead of rifle fire, sounds of singing drifted across no man's land.
The Germans would be heard singing Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. The British would respond with a British Christmas carol. In some places, food was lobbed over into the opposing trenches. In one or two instances, the Germans erected Christmas trees. And there was a kind of mutual curiosity, certainly instances of soldiers applauding each other's singing.
I say, is that singing?
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play.
Is that Christmas carols?
Mild and sweet their songs repeat. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir.
I can swear it's coming from both sides.
In my heart I hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and marks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bells are ringing like a choir singing. Does anybody hear them? Peace on earth.
Thank you. on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
That's a true story. One night and one day, they ceased fire and laid down their weapons. And they joined hearts over common faith, belief in Jesus. You see, unless the followers of Jesus take his teachings seriously, we will not see much peace on this earth. We just will not. After all, if the sons and daughters of God aren't instruments of peace, who will be? Remember that Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us, and he showed us how to live at peace. He suffered insult and injury without retaliation. The innocence of the babe in the manger was retained throughout his life. He demonstrated love and now lives within us, equipping us to live and to love like he did. As the lyrics of the chorus of our theme song say, and it actually might be the bridge, do not be afraid. His love is strong enough to save us. Nothing stands in the way. His love is strong enough to lead us. If Christmas teaches us anything, it should teach us that. As John, affectionately known as the Apostle of Love, says in 1 John 4, verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, whose love has been born of God and knows God. Whoever is not loved does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, verse 12 says, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Perhaps you might be thinking, well, what's God's love got to do with peace on earth? Everything. Everything. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you so loved us, yes, and you sent your Son Jesus to save us. Father, but I want to thank you too for the gift of your Son Jesus, who, again, you gave to us, and also the gift of your Spirit that lives within us, Father, to equip us and to empower us to live lives of peace. Father, I believe that the greatest testimony to this world of the reality of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, is when we love one another like he loved us. When we lay down our arms, we quit our bickering and fighting and feuding, and Father, and just hold out Jesus. Just try to love the way he loved. And sometimes that's going to be real hard. It was hard for him. People mocked him. They ridiculed him. They spat upon him. They killed him. But Father, one thing they could not do is they could not destroy the spirit of love that he's given to us. The spirit of love that he demonstrated and took to the cross, to the very grave, and rose again. Victory over death and despair and over the strife as well in this world. Help us to tap into that. Help us, Father, to receive the peace that you offer us in Christ. And for those in this world who still aren't aware, still don't understand, still don't know, Father, may we be able to show them what it means before we start trying to tell them what it means. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray, and amen. I'd ask you to stand for the benediction and the song to follow. Benediction again comes from Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. As to us a child has been born, and to us God's Son has been given, so may he rule and reign in our hearts and lives both now and forever. May the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace be with you and your loved ones this and every season of the year.